The importance of the Hesped of a Chacham is mentioned by Chazal. Rambam called Masatzel Besbeda Shal Chacham, a person that's not Maskur Chacham, ain't a Marach Yomim. So the Hesped of a Chacham is a very important, extremely important Inyan. The Yerushalmi that says that it mentions that the Bnei Yisrael, it's a complicated with the Masos. So at any rate, that Kivin Shemes Aaron, the Rabbeinu Chananel mentions it in my cut in the Chafras and Aleph. Kivin Shemes Aaron is Talku and Anei Kavod. Well, Bikshi Yisrael Lavzal Mitzrayim. So they went back 8 Masos. It's the they learned this stuff from Sukkim. It's a little bit complicated, but at any rate, so they many mishpachas were killed because the Shevet Levi killed the 8 mishpachas because they were returning back to Mitzrayim. The Gemara says why? So they stopped and they asked why was this so? Because they were misatzel or shlo misasaknu bespedo shel tzadik haroi, because we weren't osek properly in the hesped of Aaron Hakayim. So apparently the hesped of a tzaddik is not just hesped. The purpose of the hesped of a tzaddik is what did they say? They said they realized that the reason why this tragedy occurred to them was because they weren't maspid the tzaddik properly. So the hesped of a tzaddik really is something which is beneficial to the klal, and that's why they said that if we were maspid the tzaddik properly, we wouldn't have returned. We wouldn't have made those 8 masos back to Mitzrayim. Because the Gedolim Tzadikim Mesosan means that the limud that we learn from their lives affects us in a permanent way. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that the Rabbeinu Chananel brings this Yerushalmi on the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Misa Tzadikim is a Mechaper. That Misa Tzadikim is a Mechaper. What does it mean, Misa Tzadikim is a Mechaper? So in Yadus, I mean Lahavdil, we don't just tell what to be understood simply. All the Mefarshim ask, you have the Teretz Mimo asks, so what's the reason for it? Why is Misa Tzadikim a Mechaper? And the reason is, you see from the Rabbeinu Chananel, the fact that he brings this Yerushalmi on the Chazal of Misa Tzadikim is Machaper. Kol Shkim Misa Tzadikim Shem Machaper. It's learned from Miriam. So you see that, and he brings down the Yerushalmi. So Misa Tzadikim is a Machaper because the Klal is the Osek the Hespedon. Since they're Osek in the Hesped of the Talmud Chacham. So they derive from the Talmud Chacham's life as a tremendous influence on the people in terms of their ideas, embedding their ideas, the ideas of Yadus, in their souls, and it perfects them. That's why it's a mechaper. But it's not just an automatic mechaper. It's not just an automatic mechaper. It's only mechaper insofar as the kohol relates to them properly, assesses their lives, and learns from their lives. The Gemara says in Mayed Katan, the Gemara says that Chacham Shemais, the Chacham is Nifter Hakol Krovot. Everybody is considered his relative. So the Gemara says, "Hakol Krovav Salkadaydach." Does that mean really that everybody is his karov? So the Gemara says, "Ela Hakol Kikrovav." Everybody is just like their as if they are their relatives. Hakol Karanalov, Hakol Choltsinalov, Hakol Mavrinalov Berachava. So the Gemara says that it doesn't mean literally that one is a karav of the chacham, but it means, insofar as the halachas are concerned, that there's kriya for a chacham. There's kriya for a chacham. As a matter of fact, I mean the shachis, the question he says. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says, "Kinoch nafshei the Rav Safra." When Rav Safra passed away, lo kar Rabbanan le. Rabbanan didn't do kriya for him. Amri, they said, lo gamrina mine. We didn't learn from him. He wasn't our Rebbe. Amalu Abayas. Abayas said, "Mi tanya harav shemes." The Brisa say that only a Rebbe that passes away. Chacham shemes tanya says, "V'chacham dies." V'o the Gemara says, "Kol yomo shmeitzei befuman b'vei midrasha." Every day we discuss his Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. So that's why the halacha is that the chacham, and that's how we paskin really a chacham whose shmuos are heard in the Beis HaMedrash. So there's a chiyuv of kriya. The Rambam paskins even a chacham, from the Rambam would seem that even a chacham who you don't know of his shmuos. I mean, unfortunately we had a few weeks ago where Bianca Kamenetsky was nifter, a chacham. And so there's a machlekes or rishonim, if it's a chacham who you didn't hear of his shmuos, you're not constantly learning his Torah. For those who are learning his Torah, of course, there's a chiyuv kriya. But for those who aren't, who didn't hear his Torah, from the Gemara would appear, from the plain pshat in the Gemara would appear that even if you didn't hear his Torah, you're mechayev in kriya, because the Gemara says mi tanya harav shemeis chacham shemeis tanya. But the Maharam of Rutenberg learns that it's one pshat, that it's only a chacham who you heard of his shmuos. So that's why some are meko, and if it's just the Talmud Chacham alone, so you don't do kriya. But we paskin lamaisa, I mean, the Geshe Achaya mentions that anyone that wants to do kriya for a Talmud Chacham Shemesh, even though he didn't hear his shmuos, he certainly has a right to do kriya. There's no question about it. But the Shach is a question, he says, how is it that people aren't nohek to do this? The minig is not to do it. He says, and even a chacham that you heard from a shmuos, which would mean even according to the Maharam of Rutenberg, if you were going to be mekel, so even according to him, you have to do kriya. So the shach says, he says he doesn't understand this. It's a dover tamor, he says. And he says, maybe the answer is because we don't have this manazet Talmud chacham, which is really considered Talmud chacham. What's the definition of Talmud chacham? Definition of chacham is sheshol and also b'chol makom. That you ask, you could ask him in any place, any area of Torah, you could ask him and he'll answer. So many want to say that since such a Talmud Chacham is not to be found, Bizman Hazeh, so that's why the world is knowing not to do Kriya. But with Rav Moshe, the Chatzadik Levracha, I mean, there's no question that he was a Talmud Chacham, Shesher and I said, Bachol Makayim. I mean, there wasn't a place that you could ask him that he wouldn't know instantaneously where the area. My brother mentioned to me that he one time was learning a Gemara in Kachem, I mean, not a very popular Gemara. And he was stuck on a pshat in the Tesis. And he asked Rav Moshe, took one look at it, immediately says, yep, the Rashash asked the Kasha, turns it, opened up right immediately to the Rashash on the spot, I mean. His knowledge and so was, he was a real Talmud Chacham Shesholem and Sebechol Makam without any question. The interesting thing is the Rambam, the way the Gemara says Chacham Shemeis Hakol Krovav. So the Gemara says everybody is his karav, and the Gemara says, what do you mean everybody is his relative? So the Gemara says, no, everybody is like his relative. So it means to say that the Braisa used the term Krovav, but the Braisa only meant to say with regard to Halacha. Braisas are written in ways that in a very short, concise way, so that you remember the Braisa. But the Rambam, when the Rambam mentions the Halacha, the Rambam says, Aval Chacham Shemeis, the Rambam says like this, Kol mi she'amad ha'meis b'shas yitzias neshmasa, anybody that is with a person at the time that they pass away, Afal pi she'ena krovo, even though he's not his relative, Chayev l'krova, he must do kriya, any Jew. V'chein adam kosher shemeis, the Rambam says. And Adam, that's by any Jew. Then he says, an Adam Kasher, means a person who was Shema Terah Mitzvahs, Hakol Chayav L'Kriya Lav, Av Pisha Eina Chacham. Everybody has to do Kriya, even though he's not a Chacham, and even though one was not present at the time when the person passed away. One is present at the time the person passed away, it's Kesefer Terah Shenisra, the Gemara says. Like a Sefer Terah was burnt. Plus, the man's Neshama represents the whole objective of the Torah. But the Rambam says, even in Adam Kasher, even if one wasn't there, it's a machlekes rishonim, the Rambam paskins, even if one wasn't there, as long as he was there between the Petira and the Kvura, he's chayav l'kra. Afa pi she'ena chacham. Then he says, the Koran tefach kishor ha'velim. The Rambam says, aval chacham shemeis, but if a chacham passes away, he says, hakol krovav, hakol koran alav, hachem egalonis liban, different shiurim in Kriya. So the question in the Rambam is, why did the Rambam say Hakol Krovav? And there was no reason for it, because the Gemara already explained that what's the reason that you say Hakol Krovav? is because it means with regard to Kriya. It's just a halachic metaphor. But why did the Rambam use, the Rambam retain the metaphor? The Rambam says, Hakol Krovov, he mentioned it in the halacha. What is the reason for it? They say, Kesef Mishni asked the question, he remains with a kasha. I was thinking that perhaps, you see, you take a look at the Rambam says, when the Rambam mentions about Avelis, the Rambam mentions in Perek Gimel, the Rambam says, Kol mi she'ena misabel kama shesiva chachom arei zachzori. Anybody that doesn't do, that isn't misabel, doesn't mourn, like the chachomim set up the system of mourning, is an achzor. An achzor means a heartless person. It comes from the two words, really, in Eov. Achzor means it's only a stranger. It doesn't relate to me. It means a man has within his nature something which occurs to somebody else to break the identification and simply walk away, remain unaffected. So the Rambam says, this is an achzori. Elo, the Rambam says, yefached v'yedai, you should worry and be frightened, v'yefashvesh b'masov, you should investigate his actions, v'yachzor b'tshuva, you should do tshuva. So what is this transition between achzori and tshuva? So the first thing that a person has to do is a person has to be capable of identifying with the one who has passed away. I mean, he has to have the process of identification. He can't be an achzor. Like it didn't occur to him. But the process of identification is supposed to be used for a higher level. It's supposed to be translated into a higher level. He should recognize that such is his own fate also is the same as the one who has passed away. And this should be a motivation for him to do tshuva. So if a person is in the Ram mentions, Echad min ha'chabura shemeisu tidi kol ha'chabura kula. If one of a chabura passes away, Rahman al-Aslan, so the halacha is that the whole chabura should worry. It means that this process of identification, the person should try to engender, to promote this process of identification. He should recognize that this is his fate as well, and therefore it should be a means of bringing him to tshuva. So there is apparently there's two types of kriya in the Rambam. One type of kriya is a maisa kriya, because the Rambam in Perek Tes lists all the different types of kriya. There's kriya on Yerushalayim. There's different types of kriya. Shmua Ra, kriya on Birkas Hashem. There's a kriya. There's various types of kriya. Or Yehuda, Yerushalayim. So the halacha is that there's certain incidents demand an act of kriya. But then there's another kind of kriya that results from the state of the person, because the person is an ovel. He's defined as an ovel. The gavra is defined as an ovel. The fact that the gavra is an ovel is machayevim in kriya. And that's halacha, that's the situation of a korov, a relative. A relative means a strong identification with a relative. So when a relative passes away, it shatters a person because it brings to his mind, through identification, the reality of his own fate. That's the phenomena of the avelus of a korov, of a relative. But the Rambam says chacham shemeis. That's why the Rambam says chacham shemeis hakol krovov. By a chacham, the kriya for a chacham is a different kind of a kriya. It's not just the kriya. Even an adam kosher. Is Kasefa Tarsh Nisraf. Kasefa Tarsh Nisraf means that it's an event which demands Kriya. The event demands Kriya. Kasefa Tarsh Nisraf demands Kriya. But the Gavra himself, the person himself, is not yet an Ovel, because it's not an incident which is that close to him, you see. But a Karav is the Gavra, the person himself is an Ovel, because it's something which is close to him. That's why the Rambam mentions, the Rambam retains the Gemara, the Brisa. And the Gemara was not used as a metaphor, the Brisa, but the Brisa was really to be understood halachically. That Chacham Shemeis HaKol Krovov, it means that with a Chacham, everybody has to identify with a Chacham. A Chacham is really a din of a Karov. So the Kriya for the Chacham is not just a Kriya because of an event, an external event, a tragic event that occurred. But it's more than that. It's really the gavra, the person himself, is an oval. It's just like a relative, because he identifies with the Chacham. Everybody is a relative of the Chacham. Chacham belongs to everybody. Chacham doesn't only belong to his mishpacha. Chacham belongs to every Jew. He's a close relative of every Jew. That's the halacha of Chacham Shemais. With Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadok Livracha, I mean, there's no question that the people who knew him, people who were in his Dalet Amos and who were aware of his godless, of his great genius in learning, great Chochmah in Torah, I mean, were moved by his godless in Torah, but even more so, I mean, people were moved by his godless in terms of his perfection. Torah is the godless of the Torah. Only those who really are deeply involved in the Torah of the Chacham really know his Torah and know him through that aspect of his life. But even those who aren't involved in the Torah of the Chacham are moved by the perfection of the Chacham. Now, with Rav Moshe, I mean, the perfection was manifest. Any person who was in his Dalet Amos became aware very readily of his greatness. And I think that which stood out most of all was his anivus and his pashtus, his simplicity and his humility. I mean, it was a phenomenon that people were amazed at. There are many, many gedolim, but he stood out. In that respect, he stood out as being most unusual. I remember that my wife just mentioned recently to me when we were there on the east side when Rosh Hashanah, we walked home with Moshe, and we had the opportunity to speak and learn with him. And then before he said goodbye, he turned to my wife, my children. Like the plainness, the pashtus, the natural flow of Avas Yisrael that he had was something that was astonishing. I mean, at the Hespedim they were talking a lot, people mentioned as anivus. It's something that you simply, if you saw it, I mean, you couldn't get over it. It was amazing in its simplicity. And we have an oni that comes to the yeshiva that we were able to help out, you know, over the years. And he just told me, he was here a few days ago. He said he went to, I mean, a person, a Pasha person, an Oni that came from Eretz Yisrael, and he went the first stop. He went to Rav Moshe's house. So, I mean, that's the type of house he had. The house was always open till later when he was the last few years when he was ill, so the Mishpacha wouldn't let people in. But before that time, anyone could walk into Rav Moshe's house. So he came from Eretz Yisrael, walked into Rav Moshe's house, and he told him his problems. You know, he doesn't have a parnasa. So he said, Rav Moshe said, "Nu medaf helfen de yid, medaf reizen medaf in the ois helfen. The mensch mishalben de yid mishalben panasa." Plain person. They helped him talk. Rav Dov Feinstein helped him. They told him, gave him certain advice, and he sent him to various places. One of the places he sent him was to Yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, this person today is not an Oni anymore, and he told me recently that he's making a very nice living. So, he had a slacha. But the anivus, I mean, his anivus, his simplicity was a different kind of anivus. The Gemara says, in the end of Saita, Misha Meis Rebbe Batla Nova. Batla Nova V'yir Aschait. So the Gemara says, the Rav one time said, what does it mean, butla anava? There were no more anivis. There was, after all, I mean, when Rebbe was nifter, it wasn't the end of the tkufa of Chazal. Tkufa of Chazal was still just, tkufa Samarayim was beginning. So he said, the Rav said, there was butla anava, means from that time on, there was a qualitatively differentiated type of anivis. Was not the same anivis anymore after that. Different kind of anivus. Maybe we should speak a little bit about the concept of anivus. Anivus is of course the greatest midah, the greatest midah. And personally, I think we should perhaps try to gain some insight into the type of anivus that is that Reb Moshe has. I think we could say Mishem Eser Reb Moshe is butla novel. That since Reb Moshe passed away, that type of anivus we don't have anymore. There's the first type of anivus. You know, the Rambam speaks about two types of tzaddikim. Tzaddik that is a kovish yitzro, one who exerts control over himself and who coerces his evil inclination to follow the ways of the Torah, to live a proper life. That's one type of a tzaddik. But the Rambam says there's another kind of a tzaddik that's oved me'avo, which means a person who naturally does the good. And it's interesting, they used to say about Reb Moshe, the world used to say about Reb Moshe, people normally say, Reb Moshe is the normalste goyen. He's the most normal goyen, they said. By normal they meant it was just a natural flow of tzidkis. It wasn't something, he wasn't the tzaddik that was kovesh yisitro, the tzaddik that was oved me'avo, the natural phenomenon. There was no struggle. I remember one time we were in the Beis Medrash, walked out of Beis Medrash, Reb Moshe was there, so Reb Moshe went over to, it was a Pashto Yid that was walking over there, Reb Moshe went over to him, started talking to him, so one of the Talmidim said, you see, he's working on himself now, they said, implying that he's working on his own midos, and he's in terms of his anivus. I didn't think that pshat was true at that time. I don't think it's true now, because he wasn't working on himself. He was naturally, it was a natural phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon. Astonishing phenomenon to see, but a natural phenomenon. So there's anivus, there's different, just like there's different types of tzidkis, there's different types of anivus. There's anivus, which is a kovesh yitzro. A person coerces, recognizes that he has within his nature, everybody has within their nature, gaiva, which gaiva is a natural part of a person's nature, haughtiness, man, human haughtiness. So there's a nevus which results from controlling that instinct. We control ourselves, recognize that it's a false instinct, and it stems from the lower part of man, so one controls himself. That's a nevus of Kovesh Yisitro. And that a nevus, the Rambam has that a nevus in Hilchos Deis, where he mentions that a person should be an onov ma'od, a person should be very humble. You should be a shval ruach. Shval ruach. There's one of the few cases where the Rambam says that one is permitted to go to the other extreme. Shval ruach. And there the Rambam is talking in Hilchos Deis about anivus of kovesh yisitro. But the Rambam is talking about a person, how a person should regulate his life, and how he should control his evil inclinations, and how he should coerce himself to be in the proper balance. That's the anivus of the kovesh yisitro that the Rambam talks about. That certainly is a level, certainly is a very high level. A person that does that alone is a very high level. But there's another kind of anivus. There's a kind of anivus which is a natural anivus, which doesn't result from a person being a kovesh yisitro, controlling himself, but it's a natural anivus. That's the anivus of the oved me'avo. What kind of anivus is the anivus of the oved me'avo? The anivus of the person that's oved me'avo really is on several levels. On several levels. The first and the most basic level of the anivus of the oved me'avo is the fact that the person is a perfected human being. Which means to say that a person who is perfected, by perfection we mean a person who knows what the good really is. When I say that he knows what the good really is, it means not just in knowledge, but in his emotions as well. His makeup, his entire makeup is in line with the good. And a person whose entire makeup is in line with the good, Chazal tell us, the perfected individual, is a person who has the best life. Because the Torah really says, all the mitzvahs of the Torah is that we should have, God's chesed was, he gave us a Torah, that we should have the best life. And a person who experiences the good, knows what the good is does not have, is not tempted by the other parts of his nature, because simply he knows, he experiences what the true tov is. He experiences what the true good is. And once one experiences that, the experience is so much in line with his true nature, with his underlying nature, with his selam alokim, that the other parts simply cannot enter the picture. So that anivus, the person who is a person who recognizes the good, who truly enjoys limud haTorah, who enjoys the mitzvos haTorah, who enjoys chesed, who enjoys the all the perfections of the Torah, that the Torah teaches us, is not attracted to anything else. Not attracted to anything else. Everything else pales in the face of this good. And therefore, the part of man that is concerned with himself and is constantly trying to measure what his relative position is vis-a-vis his fellow man, and is seeking the enjoyment of discovering that perhaps he is better than his neighbor, you see, which is really the objective of Gaiva, this enjoyment is nothing for this person. It's not an enjoyment. It's not something that he really... There is so much... The enjoyments of the Torah are so much greater that he is not drawn, he is not attracted to that to that process. The process is not attractive to him. What attracts him is the mitzvah haTorah, limud haTorah, the enjoyment of learning, of understanding, of seeing Chachmas Elokim. This enjoyment is so great that the enjoyment, the frustrating enjoyment of one's ascertaining one's relative position vis-a-vis his fellow man is not something that he has any desire to involve himself in. It is an inferior type of preoccupation. He's not attracted to it and he's not tempted by it, and it doesn't concern him because he is constantly involved in the greatest enjoyment of all, the enjoyment of the perfections of the Torah, the enjoyment of Talmud Torah, of Limud haTorah. That is one aspect of anivus, that is anivus me'ava. And that was definitely, I mean, anyone that knew Reb Moshe, that was certainly part of his makeup. I mean, his avas Torah, his learning for Torah, was a natural phenomenon. He was just drawn to it. I mean, the moment he was removed from anything that he had to do because of the tzarchei hakohol, or because the tzarchei hamishpacha, or his own physical tzarchim that he had to take care of, the moment those things were taken care of, he was naturally involved in Talmud Torah. There was no need for him to say, "Let's go. I have to learn now. I have to learn. I mean, now's the time to learn." It was something that there's nothing else to do. Simply, it was really like the halacha says, the bracha of shekhan sotzon lasa b'divrei sara. Like Tosfos says, that the bracha, you make the bracha once a day, but the bracha goes on all day. Why? Even though you do different things, because everything is just a hefsek. Just have to take care of this. But the moment those things were taken care of, he was automatically involved in limud haTorah. And those who saw him involved in limud haTorah, you could see from his nature the way he was involved. It was simply like a person breathes. I mean, just a natural phenomenon. Natural phenomenon. So on the one hand, his anivus was natural because there was no attraction to the enjoyments that most people are involved in terms of ascertaining their relative positions. And that's why I think most people are astonished and astounded by his anivus. People mention about it, how what type of anivus was it? They mention, did he know who he was? Didn't he know who he was? How could it be that he knew who he was and yet he was such an anav? The answer is because, of course, he knew who he was. He knew who he was, just like Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. But the preoccupation with that fact, to involve himself in the comparison, was not something that was an enjoyable process for him. The enjoyable, he knew, he sensed that these enjoyments are inferior. The enjoyments of the Yetzer Hara are inherently inferior. They're frustrating. They're inferior. The person who's perfected doesn't involve himself in these type of processes. He was never involved in that process of comparison. Wasn't involved. There was no need to be involved in the process. It didn't give him any enjoyment. That pleasure was not a pleasure that he seeked or that he searched for. The only pleasure he searched for, that he sought, and that he was involved in, was the pleasure of Limud HaTorah and Mitzvah HaTorah. There's another aspect of Anivas. This aspect comes from a person's chokhmah. A person's chokhmah leads to Anivas. Because you see, the greatest onav in Klal Yisrael was also the greatest chokham. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest onav. He was the greatest chokham. A person who is a chokham is a person who is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Chochmas Hashem, Meloch Ol Haaretz Kevodo. To be, for a person to experience the Chochmas Hashem, for a person to be in the world, to partake of the real world, to be in the world of the Absolute, which is the world of which is the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. To be in that world prevents a person from even thinking about himself, from even being concerned with himself, because the spectacle is so awe-inspiring that the self is simply totally forgotten. Totally forgotten. It would be as if a person can experience it on a lower level also. If a person is traveling sometimes, they see beautiful scenery, they're overawed momentarily by the sight. At that moment that they're overawed, there is no reflection about the self. They're involved. They're awed by a spectacle, an external spectacle that has totally taken over their soul. The Talmud Chacham, of course, there's a bracha. That's why you say when you see the Horim and the Gvoas, you make the bracha Voisim Aisa Gracious. But there's a higher spectacle, even higher than the physical beauty that God created. And that's the beauty of God's Chachma. That's the highest beauty that there is. When a person is involved in that spectacle, when a person sees that Chachma, it's more overpowering, more awe-inspiring than the most beautiful physical phenomena that one could ever observe. And if a person is enraptured by it, the self is simply gone. There's no energy left to be directed towards the self. That was the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the highest type of anivus. Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly involved in the spectacle of the Chachmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pe'al Pe'a Dabarbo. It was a constant thing. He didn't even have to go into a separate state of Nevuah. Other Nevi'im, the difference between the Nevuahs, Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevi'im, is the other Nevi'im had to go into a special state of sleep. There was a different state that had to overtake them in order that they should be removed from the physical. Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly Pe'al Pe'a Dabarbo. He was always in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was always involved in seeing the endless, the infinite Chochmas Hashem. Chochmas Hashem is infinite. And a person who's involved in that spectacle has simply, there is nothing left, there is no energy left to reflect upon the self. Rav Moshe was involved in our door, Rav Moshe was involved in that spectacle, in the spectacle of the Chochmas HaTorah, constantly involved in seeing the awe-inspiring Chochmah of our Torah, which is Ein Keitz, which is infinite. G'dolam ad midei eretz midor, achavam onayom, aparim v'ravim. Most people don't realize the endlessness of the Torah because they're not involved in it. But one who is involved on the level Rav Moshe was involved sees the endlessness. And then when I gave my brother smicha, he told him, Sagreisatera, Adaflanan, Sagreisatera. Because he could see, the more a person sees the greater a scholar is, the more he sees the endlessness, and the more the boundaries recede from his eyesight. He was a person that was involved and saw the endlessness of the Chochmas HaTorah. A person who's involved in that spectacle simply doesn't have any energy left. So think about the self. The self is lost. There's an interesting Gemara in Brachas. Gemara in Brachas says that, you see, when a person is involved in that, in that scene, when a person sees the Chochmas Hashem, it has an effect on him. It has an effect on him also with regard to his own evaluation and his own estimation of himself. Not simply that he's on one aspect, on one level, as I mentioned before, the different levels of Anivas. On one level, there is no energy left for the self. That is true. But there's another level as well. There's a level in which he sees himself differently. And this is expressed by an interesting maimer of Chazal, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Margala b'fumayu d'rabbonin d'yavna. Margala means a pearl. A pearl, there was a pearl in the mouth of the Rabbonin of Yavna. This is something which they used to say, a beautiful statement. And the Gemara says, they used to say like this. It's referring to a Talmud, Talmid Chachamim, and how they considered themselves in relationship to the Amei Haaretz, the ignoramuses. And the Gemara says like this. Ani beria, I am a creature, v'chaveri beria, and my chaver is also a creature. And Rashi says, Ani ha'osek b'Torah beria, I who study Torah am a creature, v'chein chaveri am ha'aretz, and also my chaver who is an ignoramus is also beria, he also is a creature. And the Gemara says, Ani malachti bo'ir, I do my work in the city, malachti bo'ir, he says, in other words, he goes in the Beis Medrash, and he learns. V'hu malachto basadeh, but he works in the fields. Plain person works in the fields. Amaretz is not a degrading term of Chazal. Amaretz is a mile. Amaretz means a person who has reached certain perfection in midos, and he's mekayim the olam. He's involved in kiyum olam and sustaining the world. Ani mashkim l'malachti, v'hu mashkim l'malachta. I get up for my malacha, and he gets up for his malach. Kishem shehu eino mizgadeh b'malachti, kach ani eini mizgadeh b'malachta. Just like I can't say that I could do his work in the fields, so too he can't do my work that I do in Talmud Torah. V'shema tomar, maybe you'll say ani marba v'hu mamit. Maybe you'll say I do more, I learn more v'hu mamit, and he does less. He doesn't have the opportunity to learn as much as me. Only not intellectually, not in terms of time. Shaninu echad amarba v'echad amamit ubilvad shi'achavim liba l'shamayim. But we learned that it doesn't matter whether a person learns more, whether a person learns less. As long as he's mechaven liba l'shamayim, as long as his purpose is to do the proper thing, so they're both the same. What does this Gemara mean? What do you mean? How could you compare a great Talmud Chacham to a person who is an Amaretz? I mean, over here, of course, again, the Chazal don't mean Amaretz. Over here, in this case, is a degrading thing. Over here, Amaretz is meant the person who's perfected in Midos. But what it means is like this. And I think that this Chazal most of all typifies with Moshe. What the Chazal means is that when a person recognizes Chochmas Elokim, a person recognizes God's Chochmah, and he sees that there is a great plan that God has created for his world, and he recognizes that there are many Beruyim, many creatures in this world, and in terms of the great plan, in terms of the overall plan, everyone serves a necessary function. Everyone serves a necessary function. So the person who is the Amaretz, who works in the field, what he does is necessary in order for the society to live. There's an overall picture. The Talmud Chacham has his place. He's the great scholar. He's the one that people turn to for Chochmas Elokim. That's true. But in terms of the overall plan, without the Amei Haaretz, you have no plan either. So it means a person who appreciates the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the plan of God, God in His wisdom, how He created the whole world. So a person who recognizes, like the Gemara says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that every person The Gemara says in the Bracha that every person should like his. There should be a person for every umnis. Every person should be able to enjoy different umnis, different types of professions that each individual has. But there's something that people enjoy. You'll find in every profession, you always find people that enjoy their profession, and they feel their profession is something which is worthwhile. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that way, in order that there should be a total picture, a totality. The egocentric person is only involved in himself. Only involved in himself, in his position, he said. His position. For him, the whole world was only created for his own position. The person who is broader, a person who sees the whole system, sees Chochmas Elokim, can appreciate the whole system. And in appreciating the whole system, the self changes. It's a matter of fact, I would say, that the I becomes an it. The I, instead of a person thinking of himself as an I, he becomes a something, an entity, which is a part of a whole great plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he sees himself as a part, a small part of the plan. It's true, he's fortunate that he's a Talmid Chacham, he appreciates that, but he doesn't close out the rest of the world. He, in terms of the plan, he cannot consider other people to be insignificant. They're all important. They're all a part of Klal Yisrael. That is the person who has changed his own I identification. That's a person who has reached a tremendous level. I think this Margula Bafume, people who knew Reb Moshe, this was his level. This was his level. To him, he didn't feel the I was not there. There was no I identification. He considered himself, he used to say a person, it's so much easier, he mentioned once, it's so much easier for a person, in this world, this is a person who's a great Talmud Chacham, so everybody gives him respect. He can learn, he has a brilliant mind, he's fortunate. He says, what about the person who's sitting in the corner of the Beis HaMedrash and is trying to learn a Tesis, trying to learn a piece of Gemara, he's trying again and again, and he has difficulty in learning. So how much, in terms of the Avas Torah, who could measure who has a greater Avas Torah? It's not easy to measure. As we mentioned many times, the Avas Torah depended on two things. It depended on the Torah itself, but it depended also upon the person's motivation, the person's desire and love for Torah. So Moshe used to feel for a person who didn't have his mind. He knew, he said, who gave him his mind? I mean, can a person say that I created my mind? Ani Asasini, that's what Pari, Li Yarev Ani Asasini, Pari said that. He considered those things which he had, those qualities which he had, as if he created them. But a person who is a realistic individual knows that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a bracha that he has a good mind, it's not his mind, I mean, it's not something that he's responsible for. He's fortunate. But he has to realize that insofar as he is concerned, the I really it's not him. He is simply a part of the cheshbon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why God's chokhmah dictated that one individual should be endowed with the blessing of a brilliant mind and another individual not? This is all part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani berya, v'af chaveri berya. That's really the maimer of Chazal. When a person looks at the reality of the creation, when he recognizes that everything that he sees is an expression of God's Chachmah. So he can't feel that he's superior because he's endowed with a better intellect. It's foolish. He has to recognize, Ani Berya v'chaveri Berya. I was created, I'm a Berya, and he's a Berya too. This is all part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to be Machzik Tov L'Atzma, to say that it's him, is false. And a person who has this recognition knows that. And that's where Rav Moshe used to... He had that recognition, not just intellectually, but he had it emotionally. Every aspect of his nature was in line with this reality. That's why when he spoke to a person, you felt funny when you spoke to him, because you felt like you should have an emor, a fear of his greatness. But you couldn't feel it somehow or other. You have to coerce yourself to do it. You couldn't sense it because of his pashtus. The pashtus was stemmed from the fact that this is the way he really saw life. This is the way he really understood life. With this, you understand the Gemara in the end of Sota. Because the Gemara says in the end of Sota, Mishemeis Rebbe Butla Nova on Butla Yerushait. So the Gemara says, one of them want to say, I still am here, the Gemara says. So people ask, they say, how could he say, Ikano, that I am still here and I have this anivus? That is the most haughty statement that a person can make. The answer is, it's only haughty if a person is in the realm of the I identification. Then it's haughty. But if a person looks at himself as just a part of the Bria, which he is, a small part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, you see, so then he could speak about himself in objective terms, as an it, not as an I. Voikano, even though it was himself, but he didn't sense any haughtiness in the statement because he was just looking at it as himself, as another feature of the whole system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pshat in the Gemara. Moshe's anivus really was on all levels. It was anivus because he recognized the involvement in the good, from a natural involvement in the good. It was anivus from seeing the Chochmas Hashem, and the anivus of seeing the Chochmas Hashem in Torah resulted in recognizing the whole Chochma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu insofar as the plan of the Bria is concerned, and it resulted in a loss of an eye identification. That's the type of anivus that he had. What is the... Of course, Rav Moshe lived a very full life, a very good life. I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu was good to him, and he saved him from the tragedy in Europe. And he lived here, Shalom, and he lived a life which was certainly the greatest life, because his life was always involved in Torah. Of course, he had difficulties. Osek and Tzarchei Tzibor, I mean, his Moser Nefesh for the Tzibor caused him a lot of pain at many, many, many times. But nevertheless, on the overall picture, the tzaddik has the greatest life. And insofar as he is concerned, I mean, there is no tragedy in his passing, because he's in the Zuma Machayo Mabar. The Gemara says, like Chazal say, you know, when the tzaddik comes to the next world, so the Gemara says, derech mashal, that they make way for the tzaddik, and the tzaddik finally lives in a state where he has the greatest hanoah, if you could use the word hanoah in that way. But for us, it's a great tragedy. Like the Gemara says, when a diamond is lost, it's only lost to the owner. The diamond is still a diamond. So the loss is a loss for us, not for him. What is the tragedy involved? Yeah. Tragedy, of course, involved is, like the Gemara says, by the Avas David V'Yehonasan. The Avas David V'Yehonasan. Avas David V'Yehonasan, the Gemara says, Ava Shenet Luya B'Dava. That there was, the Ava, the love, was not dependent on anything. It was not a love that was self-seeking in any manner. What kind of a love was it? It was a love that was based upon the appreciation of the perfection, of seeing the perfection of another person's soul. That's the true Ava. And this opportunity that God gave us these past years to be able to view such an individual and to sense that Ava for such a person who was so perfected in so many different instances. I mean, this is a great loss for us, not to be able to have this experience anymore. To be able to appreciate the perfection of an individual. The Gemara says in Brachos, that the Gemara says, Rabbi Alpert mentioned this at the Hespit. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer was ill. So Rabbi Yechanan came to visit him. So he saw he was living in a dark house. Then he saw that Rabbi Eliezer was poor. So he saw that Rabbi Eliezer was crying. So he said to him, he says, why are you crying? He says, if you feel you didn't learn enough Torah, So Shaninu Echaramaba Echaramamit, Lovachi Chavanibula Shemayim. So we learned, it doesn't matter if a person learned more or a person learned less. As long as his intention in learning was to do the correct thing, was for the right purpose, so then it's fine. What does the Gemara mean? Of course, the Gemara doesn't mean that a word of Torah is unimportant. What the Gemara means is that for some people, Torah becomes like money. In other words, it's an accumulation. It becomes a goal. It becomes a goal. So a person has goals in the external world, so he applies goals to Torah. That is something which is good when a person starts to learn. He has to do that. It's necessary. Otherwise, he's not going to make any headway. But when a person reaches a higher level, a person recognizes that the Torah is not something that a person can accumulate in the sense that he accumulates material things. But what Torah is perfection. It's an instrument of perfection. So a person can't feel, I want to learn the X amount of Torah. Torah is endless. He learns as much as he can because perfection dictates that this is what he should be involved in. It's an involvement, you see. But to say that I feel bad that I didn't have the acquisition of X amount of knowledge, that is not really a person who understands the perfection of Torah. That's a person who wants to become a professor in a special field, so he wants to know everything in the field, you see. That's his objective. But in Torah, it's not that way. Torah is the experience of Torah. So he says, Bavachi chavani v'lashamayim. V'imishim mezoni. So he says, so why should you feel bad? Of course, that everybody's life, a person feels at times he could have learned more. But the main thing is that his avas Torah resulted in his learning. V'imishim mezoni. And if it's because he didn't really make a good living, ain chashi, not a wealthy person. So lav kolodim zeich l'shtei shulchanos. Not everybody has both things in this life. Chazal were realistic. A person has to look at life in a realistic way. Nobody has everything. So some people may be wealthy, but how much Torah do they have? If a person has Torah, he can't expect to have. He can't complain that he didn't have both. I mean, it's possible. Taisha says it's possible. Ravida Nasi was everything, but a person has to be realistic. How many Ravida Nasis is there? I mean, he wasn't Zacha for that, so he wasn't Zacha. You have to accept your state, the state that God has, the niche that God has carved out for you. So what are you upset about? So he says, Vimishum. He says, Vimishum Bunny. Dain gamra da siri beer. He says, and it was because you lost children. He says, this is the bone of my 10th son. So he used to carry around that bone, Rabbi Yechon, to be Menachem Avol. So he says, so if you're realistic, a person has to recognize that this is, he has to be satisfied with the reality that God gave him. That was what he told him. Omalei. So he said to him, lahai shufri de boli ba'afrika b'china. He says, I'm crying about the beauty that you have that will be lying in the ground. What does it mean, the beauty? What does he mean? Because Rabbi Yechon was very handsome. So what does it mean? What it means is, you see, in Yadis we don't really have as a value and appreciation of physical beauty. Jews were never great sculptors, never great artists, because that's physical beauty. But the beauty that they were referring to is there is a beauty in seeing perfection and how a thing works in a perfected way. Rabbi Yechonin's shufra, Rabbi Yechonin's handsomeness reflected an inner perfection of Rabbi Yechonin. An inner perfection of Rabbi Yechonin. So he said they were crying, the Gemara says that they both cried. Al dovarai kabochiso, bochu tavayo. They both cried. Why? When you see perfection, when you see a person, a human being, who has reached such perfection, it's a beautiful phenomenon. That is true beauty. And when a person sees that and he realizes that beauty one day will be gone, that is something to mourn for. That Yadus recognizes as a loss.
Why are differences?
Because it was reflected in his physical beauty. It was a reflection of his physical beauty. The beauty that was seen in Reb Meisha, and the Rav one time said an interesting thing. He said that the Yadus, we don't hold that a person is handsome, that's a mila. I mean, the Gemara says Chazal is very ugly. But the Rav said, but sometimes there is such a phenomenon. that a person's appearance reflects an inner perfection. Now, Moshe was a person like that. I mean, he had his appearance. I think they described him in the article in the New York Times. They described his a certain handsomeness in his appearance. His appearance reflected an inner perfection. There was an inner beauty that was reflected in his appearance. And I mean, in terms of his inner perfection. I mean, it was something which went together with it. There was a oneness there. Apparently, there is such a phenomenon that Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is gracious to a person, and he allows both the inner and the external to reflect a certain perfection. He had that combination. Our loss is not to be able to see such perfection. I remember, you know, he was talking about the Avas Yisrael that Rav Moshe had. I remember I told Reb David when I was Menachem Avil last week, I said I never remember seeing him angry except the one time I was talking to him about a halacha question that had to do with a conservative rabbi. And he became angry. I mean, I just saw venom. I mean, anger in his expression. And I told Reb David, I said that anger was not of a personal nature. It was a different kind of an anger. It was an anger that came from a love of Torah. It wasn't an anger against an individual. David said to me, he said, I want you to know, he said, it was impossible for my father to ever feel any hatred towards an individual. There was no such phenomena, he says. No such phenomena. The hatred that a person feels, that Rav Moshe felt towards conservatism, was a hatred because of the fact, on the contrary, because of his love of Israel, and because of the destructive force, philosophical hatred, because of the destructive force of those who distort Torah and take people away from the true good. If a person is a lover of humanity, he has to have a hatred for a destructive force. That was his hatred for the conservative and reform movement. But never was it for any yachid, even among the conservatives or the reform, never was the hatred for any yachidim, for any individuals. There was no such, he couldn't experience such a phenomenon. There was no such experience for him. So this type of perfection, I mean, to see an individual was on that level, this type of perfection is what we have lost. In terms of Anivis, I'd like to mention, I mean, I'm sorry if my thoughts aren't completely in order, but it's difficult to organize. Insofar as Anivis is concerned, I mean, the greatest leader is a person who desires least to lead. A person who desires least to lead. By Moshe Rabbeinu, you find Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Umi hamakane atali." I told Yeshua, "Mi tein kolam Hashem neviim." Who could make a whole nation of Klal Yisrael neviim? The Seis Hashem es ruchay aleim. I remember exactly lashon pasuk. And Rav Moshe was that way. Rav Moshe was a person who really had no desire to be a leader. I remember when I went to him for smicha, so he said, like, apologize. He says, "No," he says, "you're also a London. What do you know?" I mean. And he would imply, I mean, that to people, he would imply to people that they too are, that's the way he was. They too, he'd tell people, "You're also a Pesach," you tell them. You're also a Paskin, just like me. I mean, there was no desire to be the great leader. The true leader doesn't want to be a leader. The true leader wants to see the whole nation on a level where he's not required as a leader. And this was, I mean, some of his expressions, you saw that from his nature, how in line with his greatness these things were. I remember by the dinner, one of the last dinners he spoke at in Sif Tveres Shalayim. So he thanked everybody for coming to the dinner and for helping the yeshiva. And he said, "Of course," he says, "helping any yeshiva is no different. There's no difference between helping this yeshiva or any other yeshiva." He says, "Anyone that came to help Torah," he says, This is the greatness of Talmidei Chachamim. They should take off time to come and to help the yeshiva. But his yeshiva wasn't, there was absolutely no difference. And from a political standpoint, it's it would be the most foolish thing for a person to say. I mean, you want to build your own yeshiva, after all. I mean, people aren't going to, you're not going to evoke a response from people if you're not going to say that you're a special yeshiva. And certainly he could have said so with him as the Rosh Yeshiva. But no, any yeshiva, a Makom Torah. To help a Makom Torah. That's the mitzvah that you're doing tonight. You're helping a Makom Torah. You should not feel that there's any difference between this Makom Torah and another Makom Torah. That was the way, that was his level. He felt he had to say that because he felt that he didn't want to build Torah with any falseness.
Yep.
Every tshuva that he wrote back, he said the same way. In his idras, people addressed letters to him, and every tshuva was a friend.
That's true, yeah. A very yididi, right, that's true, right? Right in the bottom, yididi, vahuvi, as if they're on the same level. We're also yididi. Yeah. Really, you know, the Gemara says, in my cut, and the Gemara says that heavy mitamidov shall aron akayin. Should be from the talmidim of aron akayin. Shemekavosim latara, Gemara says. Mishnah says navos. What was aron akayin? Because the Gemara goes through a story about aron akayin would make a person, and the mushal was really the way Moshe used to work. It's an interesting thing. But he'd make a person feel that he's on a very high level, in order that when the person saw that Aaron HaKohen has that evaluation of himself, so therefore he would try to live up to that estimation, that the picture that Aaron HaKohen would paint. The difference between Aaron and Moshe was Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that gave the ideas, that was in direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and transferred the ideas. And Aaron HaKohen, when it says Hevi Mitamid V'Aaron Shal Aaron HaKohen, it shows that this was his character, this was his function. What was his function? His function was to engender perfection. The application of the Torah to perfect the people through the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was the disseminator of the ideas, and Aaron HaKohen was the one that was actively involved in the application of the ideas to the people. So really it was a twofold, both individuals together, Moshe and Aaron, combined one unit. One was for the ideas, and one was for the application to Klal Yisrael. That's why it says, "Hevi mitamidov shel Aaron HaKohen." It's not just an isolated incident, but that's what Aaron HaKohen's role was. There were two separate roles. With Reb Moshe, really both roles were combined. Both roles. He was a Moshe and he was an Aaron. He was both. He was the man who was the disseminator of the ideas, and he was also the person that engendered perfection in people. That brought out the perfection in the individuals. Now, of course, I mean, it's a very difficult time for us. It's not just a matter of the loss. I mean, of course, the loss is great to lose such an individual that one can have such an experience with, to see the perfection of a Tzelem Elokim, to recognize the Godless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that individual. But it's more than that, really. It's more than that. I mean, it's a, you know, the Gemara, the Chazal, the Pasuk says by the second in Devarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu reviews for the people what happened with the Maamar HaSinai. So he says that after he has the Asaras HaDibris, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayikishamachem asakol mitocha choshech v'har bar ba'ish, v'tigrifu ne'elai kol rasha shiftechem v'zeknechem." You all came together and you came to me. Vatomru, hein harano d'shem alakim es kvodo ves gudlo ves kolo shemanu mitoch aish. Hayom azar yidu kidar alakim es onu v'choy. Today we have seen that man can exist while God is speaking to him. Vata, but that was only for the first two dibris, like Chazal say. Vata lama nomos. Now why should we die? Ki sochlenu ha'eish ha'gdola azos. Im yosfim anachmu l'shmo as kolo l'shem alakim ozum masnu. You should go near. You should draw near and tell us what God said. That's what Klal Yisrael said. They said we can't tolerate is it being in God's presence, being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need, you should go and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you the Torah, and then you should speak to us. And the pasuk says, "Va'atadaber aleinu you," and Rashi says, "Itashtem es kochi kinekevash and itzta'arti aleichem or fisim es yodai ki reisi sheinchem charedim leskarvel of ne'ava." We spoke about this once, what it means. It means that a person is afraid of facing the ultimate reality, has a fear of facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can't face God directly. How did Klal Yisrael face reality? Not through reality itself directly through God, but through Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk says, "In the Einei Ha'edon Nes Sabish Gaga." You had Vayikra also. The Einei Ha'eda. Who are the Einei Ha'eda? The Einei Ha'eda are the Sanhedrin. Why the expression of Einei Ha'eda? Why is Einei Ha'eda Sanhedrin? Because the eyes are the part of the body that actually sense reality. They discern reality. They discern what reality is. And through the eyes, the messages are brought back, and the rest of the body acts in accordance with the reality that the eyes are seeing. But not every organ of the body is equipped to discern and to determine what reality is. That's the difference between, that was the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and between Klal Yisrael. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who could perceive reality directly. He was capable of doing that. Klal Yisrael was not capable of doing that. They weren't capable of viewing reality, what the true bare reality is. What they could do was, they were capable of understanding and living, regulating their lives and understanding and living in accordance with reality through somebody else that was able, who they trusted, to discern for them what the reality is. It's like a patient and a physician. A physician is supposed to be the person that has the knowledge of the medicine. The individual can't he be lost in the area. So he has to rely on somebody else. Similarly, with regard to the world of the world of Torah, with regard to the metaphysical world, that there are certain individuals, the Einei Ha'eda, those are the people that have the ability to discern reality in the halachic system, to understand and to discern reality. Others can, through them, they are capable of knowing what the reality is, but they can't approach it directly. They don't have the ability. They're not capable of doing it. The function isn't there. And now with the loss of Ramesha, with the loss of Ramesha is the loss of the Einei Ha'eda. Our halachic eyes have been lost. We don't have anyone anymore that is capable of looking at the halacha, the bare halacha, to look at the reality of the halachic system itself and to determine for us what the halacha says with regard to all the different various issues. So that Klal Yisrael is in a state in which is a tragic one. Gemara says in Ayat Katan, the Gemara says, if I could just backtrack for a moment, with regard to the idea of the appreciation of beauty, a person has to realize that the appreciation of beauty is also with regard to something else as well. The Gemara says, for instance, that when the Kinoch Nafshe the Reb Zera, I'm sorry, the Gemara says Kinoch Nafshe, various stories, the Chafheim Beis, the Gemara mentions Kinoch Nafshe the Reb Yavu Achisu Amudik the Kisramaya. The beams start to cry. The Gemara says, "The Rabbi Yosi shafu mars v'tzipuri dama." So the drains of Sipuri poured. The blood came out of the drains. The Gemara says, "With Rabbi Yaakov ischamiu kochvi biyamama." So the stars were seen in the daytime. Various events that the Gemara mentions. The Gemara says, "Rabasi, when Rabasi passed away, Yaku Koli Wanaya." all the trees were destroyed. So what does the Gemara mean over there? The Gemara means to say what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that really the purpose of the world, why was the world created? The world was created even though there's so few chachamim, but he says that the purpose is for that one chacham. So apparently it doesn't mean to say that anybody else is worthless, because Kol Yisrael Yesh Mechayv Olam Abba. But it means apparently if there wouldn't be those perfected individuals, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have created the Bria, because there's so much distortion in the Bria, so much distortion in human life, so much imperfection, that it wouldn't be worthwhile. But since he knew that certain great tzaddikim would exist, so because of them he created the world. And that's what the Gemara means by all these stories. So really the truth of the matter is that when a person who is that perfected individual passes away, so it means that the whole purpose of the Bria is lost. The purpose of the creation is lost. And a person who has, as we said before, who can get a little bit outside of himself and who can recognize the system and who can appreciate the system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to feel a sense of remorse. If he could remove himself from his own egocentricity, he has to feel a sense of loss in terms of the beauty of the picture of the Bria, since the Bria itself is lacking. That's what the Gemara really means. And the insofar as the Bria's lacking is concerned, for us it's even more direct, because it's a lack in Klal Yisrael. It's a lack in the Klal itself. The entire Klal Yisrael is lacking. That's what the Gemara says, and the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Klal Yisrael. What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Klal Yisrael? Shkulu connected to Klal Yisrael. It means to say it's an odd phenomenon. Moshe Rabbeinu is the sustainer of the Klal, and yet he is really the whole Klal. Why is he the whole Klal? Because the whole Klal exists as a means to have a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the purpose of the Klal. So if the Klal does not produce people like that, so then the purpose of the Klal is lost and is lacking. And that certainly on that level, with regard to Rav Moshe, that is true, that the entire Bria is lacking and the entire Klal is lacking. But even greater is the situation. The Gemara says that the Kinoch Nafshei de Rabbi Yechanan, when Rabbi Yechanan passed away, Pasach alei Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar said, he said about him, he says, Koshe hayom liYisrael, this day is bad for Israel, ki yom bo haShemesh batzaharayim. Like the day that the sun sets in midday, black day, sun sets in the middle of the day. Tichsiv, because the Pasach says, Vahoya bayom ahu, Veveisi haShemesh batzaharayim. That it will be on that day, and I'll bring the sun down in the middle of the day, the Pasuk says, the Navi says. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan himself said, they were quoting him, Ze yomo shel Yoshiyahu. That's the day of Yoshiyahu. The day of Yoshiyahu. V'yakonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, the Pasuk says in Divrei HaYamim. And there's two places that you have this... that you have this reference to the Hesped of Yoshiyahu. One place is in the Treyasar. It's in Amos, the place the Gemara quotes. Yevoi v'yamun Hashem v'yis shemesh v'sarayim v'hachashachti la'oretz b'yomor. And I'll convert the holidays into mourning. The whole shirechem lekino, all your songs will be lamentations. Valesi al kol masnayim sak, al kol rosh korcha. The santio ke evil yochid. And I'll make it like the evil yochid means like the worst tragedy where a person loses a ben yochid. Rachmal aslan. Vacharisa ki yomar. And afterwards will be like a bitter day. Vacharisa ki yomar. And Chazal say that this is referring to the Avelus of Yoshiyahu. Zeyomo shel Yoshiyahu. what is Yom Moshe Yoshiho? What did the Gemara say when the Gemara meant about Rabbi Yochanan? This is the day of Yoshiho. What was Yoshiho? What was the story of Yoshiho? So Yoshiho is described in Divrei Hayomim, the story of Yoshiho. That Yoshiho was a Menashe was his grandfather, and Menashe brought down Klal Yisrael, and he brought Avodah Zorah to Klal Yisrael. And then his grandson, when his son was killed, when Menashe's son was killed, so the one that took over was Yoshiho. And the pasuk says, Ben Shmona Shona Yoshiho B'molcha. Yoshiho was 8 years old when he took over the Malucha. And it says, Vayasa Yoshiho Be'ini Hashem. And then it gives a little detail. V'shmona Shonim L'molcho, after 8 years of his reign, okay? So that means he was 19 years old. I mean, I'm sorry, 16 years old. V'odenu Na'ar, he was still young. Heichel Lidrosh L'lakei David Ovid. So he began searching for God. And you know the story. That it says, 4 years later, Shtemes Reshona, after 4 years, after the 4 year search, apparently he was a great Chacham and a Tzaddik. Didn't just revolutionize overnight. In 4 years, he removed all the Asheros, he removed the Avodah Zorah from Klal Yisrael. And then, as you know the story, how he brought the Sefer Torah, and they read the Sefer Torah in front of the Am. And then they made the Korban Pesach, and he brought Klal Yisrael back to its original way of following the Torah. And then what happened was that after that he went to battle, and he wanted to be successful against the enemies of Israel. And what happened was that they shot him with arrows, and they took him off the chariot. And they took him to Yerushalayim, and he died. And then the pasuk says, "Vayakonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiho." Yirmiyahu mourned Yoshiho. Why? Because after Yoshiho, that was the end. Afterwards was Yoachaz. He was the last one. He was a tzaddik. He was the last one, and there was nobody left after that. And that was really the tragedy. That was Zeo Yomo Shel Yoshiho. And the pasuk in Amos says, after the pasuk says, "Vacharisa ki yomar," because there's an avelus, which is an avelus of the moment, but then there's, after the avelus is over, so then, okay, now there are new leaders. When Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, so we lost the greatest person. But the pasuk says in the end of Devarim, of course, lo kom b'Yisrael kemoshe. Oh, you can't replace. There's no replacement for Moshe. But Vayivku b'nei Yisrael as Moshe, Barvas Moshe Shloshim Yom, Vayitmu Yimei B'chiyev Moshe. But the next pasuk is Yoshua bin Nun Malei Ruach Chochma, Ki Samach Moshe Es Yodav Olav. Vayishmu Yilav b'nei Yisrael, Vayasu Kashatziva Hashem as Moshe. So Yoshua bin Nun took over. But Yomoshel Yoshiyahu is a different kind of Avelis. There's an Avelis where you can't replace the person. There's Ein Tmor L'Talmud Chochma. You can't replace the Talmud Chochma. That certainly is an Avelis. But there's a different kind of avelus. There's an avelus of a Yomosh of Yoshiho, which means an avelus of where it is an end of an era, where there is simply no one else to take over. Not to replace him, you can't replace him, but there's no one else to take. It's the end of an era. That's what the Gemara meant in Tainus. When Rabbi Yechon was Nifter, they said, "Zeh Yomosh of Yoshiho." That's the day that the Chamos Boba Tzaharayim, the tragic day. And then almost it continues, the Pesukim continue. Hine yomim boim neum ad Hashem Elokim v'shlachti rov baretz. Days will come and I'm going to send a hunger in the land. Lo rov lalechem. Not a hunger for bread. V'lo tzom av amayim. And not thirst for water. Kiim l'shmo az divrei ad Hashem. But it'll be a thirst for hearing the Dvar Hashem, to understand the word of God. V'no mi yom ad yom mitzofam v'ad mizrach yishot to levakes es Dvar Hashem. They'll go from one end to the other, north to south, east to west, to search for the Dvar Hashem, v'lo yimtzo, they won't find it. That's the avelus of Yomo Shel Yoshiho. Our avelus, unfortunately, is not just the avelus of losing a great chacham, a great Rebbe, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, our great Rebbe, our great leader, and all the different levels of mourning that apply to this loss, and all the different ramifications, manifestations, but even more than that, it is really a Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu. It's a time when the Tkufa has reached an end. There is no more Inei Ha'ida. There is no more Daber Ata Imono V'Neshmo. Al Yidaber Imono L'Kim Penomos. Pentach Leinu Eisha Gdola Zos. We're not capable of looking ourselves, of ourselves approaching the halachic system and knowing it like we could have done when Reb Moshe was alive. It's a Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu. It's a tragic time. Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu happens a few times in history. The Churban HaBayis was a Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu. That's why in the Kinnis you say Vayakonein, in the Kinnis Vayakonein the Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu, because that was a Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu, because the base of Mikdash was destroyed and there was an end of an era. This in our generation, it's a Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu. I remember as a youngster, I mean, hearing of the different, attending different Espedim when Gedolim, when Nifter passed away, but there were so many Gedolim 30 years ago. And even though one knew that one didn't see any new replacements for those Gedolim, but one always felt that there were other Gedolim, and towards the end people would always think in their hearts, we have Reb Moshe, we have Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe is still here with us. Reb Moshe Nifter is a different kind of Avelis. It's a tragic day. It's Yom Bo Hashemesh Batzarayim. It's a Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu. It's an Eicha Yoshva Vadad. Eicha, what is Eicha? Eicha means when a person says Eicha, when a person can't grasp the tragedy. What is the Eicha? The Eicha in the Churban HaBayis is a person couldn't believe. You see that the whole Eicha it says that who would believe that such a thing could occur? Forget the Lashonis of Psukim. That it would never... You wouldn't think. A person, of course, doesn't know the Hashgacha. But a person always senses in a certain way that somehow or other that we will be saved, as Klal Yisrael will be saved from a really tragic fate. I said, I forget the Pasuk. Lashon HaPasuk. That no one couldn't imagine that it would, that a Tzar V'Oyev would come into the... into Yerushalayim. It was something that they couldn't believe. Yerushalayim was something which was a security. People felt the whole Shekhinah was there. Who would imagine? Ki yovei tzar v'yei v'chaymeis Yerushalayim. So it's something that's Yom HaShel Yoshiyahu. It's a time where a person simply has to say Eicha. Eicha means how could it be? How could this be? How could this tragedy be? And a person who values Torah, and Torah is not just a burden to them, but Torah is something on the contrary, which he recognizes is his real true salvation, the loss of the eyes of the Eidah with regard to Limud HaTorah, with regard to Derech HaTorah, he has to recognize that he's lost the greatest thing possible. And it's something which one would not imagine could happen, because a person feels that somehow or other the Hashgacha will save us from such a fate. But Eicha Yoshva Vadad, how could it be? How is this possible? We have to accept it, but it goes against everything that we sense should be. Everything that we sense should be. That's the keynote of Eicha. There's no answer for Eicha. There's no answer for Eicha. So it's a tragic state. It's a state where a person, I mean, who senses the Avelis could be devastated. We're not allowed to be Miyayish, of course. I remember when Reb Aaron Kotler was Niftus, or Reb Moshe at the Hesped was saying, mentioned many times, the Tanish Miyayish Dain, the Tanish Miyayish Dain. Of course, that would be the worst catastrophe if a person would lose all hope. I mean, we have to recognize the Avelis, we have to recognize the Eicha. You can't not recognize it. That would be wrong. You have to say Eicha. You have to recognize it. But you can't be Miyayish. But what is the solace? So what does Eicha say? What does Eicha say the solace is? Eicha says, at the end, After it says, Al Zehoyo Dovali Benu, Al Ela Choshchoinenu, Al Hartzian Shashomim Shualam Hilchubo. So the end of the end of the end of Eicho is Ato Hashem Lo'olam Teshev Kisachol Ador Vador. So the only thing that we have is the recognition. It's the only thing. It's a strange kind of nechama, but it means that a person, when he recognizes a tragic state in Klal Yisrael with the dimensions of an Eicho, a Yomo Shel Yoshiyahu, the only natural thing for him to do is simply to say Ata Hashem La'olam Teshev Kisach Ha'Lador Vador, that you God, you O God, are exist forever, and your throne is for generations and generations, which means to say that that's the only thing that our eyes naturally turn to. I mean, we lost the great leader, we lost the person who was necessary for our halachic system, and it's a great, great tragedy. But the only thing we could say is that we could turn to God and say Ata Hashem Lo'olam Teshev. That's it. I mean, we have to have solace in our relationship. We do have a relationship with an eternal relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu, the eternal one of the universe. And then we can only say Lama LaNetzach Tishkachenu Tazvenu La'arech Yamim. And last, perhaps most important, that Shlomo Letzel to Shechenu is a tefillah that we should be able to be zocha that the state should be changed, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us someone that should be able to open up our eyes to Torah, maybe be a sagol, Be'ezer Hashem. We must say also Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashu Acharei Shemeinu Kikedem, that we must be mispalo for tshuva. It's an interesting thing. Chazal say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva, it's like a dialogue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to, we ask God to that we should do tshuva, and God says, no, it's in your hands. But then the Gemara says, but there's different psukim they quote, no, on the contrary, God returns us. And we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva, which means to say that it's really a combination. It's basically a combination. We have to pray for the situation that should occur, that should be marzer Klal Yisrael for tshuva, and simultaneously we ourselves have to do our utmost in terms of recognizing the seriousness of the situation, and in terms of understanding what we have to do to maintain our survival. And this course of being osek with the hesped of a chacham, the source of learning from the chacham, should stand by us, and that we should be able to be zocha that chadei shemeinu kikedem, that we should have we should be returned to the time of David and Shlomo HaMelech, when Paul Yisrael was living in the perfected way with Binyan Beis HaMikdash.